quickly a couple of last points on Asher Yatzar, and then we'll go into Elokai Neshama. So, Asher Yatzar, actually, I saw in some Sfarim, says that the bracha Asher Yatzar is also Api Kabbalah, has like a lot of deep secrets behind it, in that it's referring not just to man and the cavities and orifices and openings in his body, but it's also referring to the entire world, and how there's different pipelines from Shemayim that are closed and open, like pipelines of bracha that are open and pipelines of klala or din that are closed. And if pipelines of din that are closed would be opened, or pipelines of bracha that are open would become closed, then the world couldn't continue to exist and stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that way. And there's like a hidden meaning behind this bracha also, because like Adam is connected to the whole world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu closes and opens our holes to keep us in existence, we're also making mention of how there's other pipelines that are being open and closed all the time in terms of keeping this world in existence. So one of the last things I think that we mentioned is the end of the Baruch of Asher Yatzar, Baruch Ata Hashem Rofe Kol Basar Umafli Lasos. So the connection Rofe Kol Basar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a human being healthy, Mafilasos, the Ramah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu does this pella, he does this miracle that he keeps the neshama in the body. Like, it doesn't make sense that something that has no boundaries would be kept in something with boundaries and would need that body to eat food and to sleep in order for the neshama to stay within the body. So that itself is a miracle that could happen. So Rofe Kol Basar Mafli Lasos is a connection between those two phrases, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps us healthy so that the neshama can stay in the guf. And it's hard for a person to work in Avodas Hashem and in Ruchnitz and things like that when he's not well and he's sick. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly helping to cure us and make us better in order that we continue to have the Mafli Lasos of our neshama staying in the guf. Which really, very naturally leads us into the next bracha of Elokai Neshama. These two brachas are like, they go hand in hand. Asher Yatzar is referring to the guf and the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does within the guf to keep it alive. And Elokai Neshama is really thanking Hashem for the fact that He gave us the neshama and keeps it within the guf. We said in the Gemara and Brachos that the first thing a person used to say right when he woke up in the morning in the days of the Tanaim and Marayim was Elokai Neshama. He woke up and he said Elokai Neshama. They didn't have the tumah or the lack of nikias that we have nowadays. Nowadays, we can't say Elokai Neshama when we wake up because our hands are tameh and they're not clean, and we can't say Shem Hashem. So what we do in place of that in the meantime is Moda'ani, and we save Elokai Neshama for later. But Elokai Neshama is taking Hashem upon having the Neshama return to Him. And it's interesting because usually when you have a long bracha with a lot of ideas in it, it's called a bracha aruka in Chazal. So when you have a bracha aruka, a bracha with a lot of ideas, it should start with a bracha and end with a bracha. And yeah, Elokai Neshama, similar to Asher Yatzar. Look right above it. Asher Yatzar starts with the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Kino Mechulam, Asher Yatzar, Asher Adam, and ends with the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofei Kol Basar, Mafli Lasos. So why does Elokai Neshama not start with a bracha and end with a bracha? So one of the answers that's brought down is because it's meant to come right after Asher Yatzar. They're meant to be grouped together. You have a bracha on the guf, and then you have a bracha on the neshama. And when you have a bracha smucha lechaverta, one bracha that's up against another bracha that ends with Baruch, so the completing bracha of the previous bracha could serve also as like the opening bracha of the next bracha. Similar to what we have in Shmona Esrei, how you have all those brachos lined up, one after the other, after the other, after the other, and yet except for the first bracha, none of them start with Baruch anymore, because all samach lechaverta to the one right before it. But there's another answer that's given, and that is that since Elokai Neshama really was meant to be said right when you wake up in the morning, so it's samach lechaverta to the hamapil that you said at night right before you went to sleep. When you make hamapil, you're making a bracha on going to sleep, you're making Elokai Neshama, you're making a bracha on waking up and getting your neshama back. How could it be samach lechaverta? There's such a long hefsek in the middle of sleeping. So even the days of Tanaim or Amaram, if they only slept for 2-3 hours, let's say. But it's still a hefsek, no? So no, because since what's happening in the middle is what the brachos were about, that's not a hefsek. And that's like Baruch Amar and Yishtabach. Baruch Amar starts with Baruch, and Yishtabach ends with Baruch. How come Yishtabach doesn't start with Baruch? Because the opening bracha of Yishtabach is really the Baruch Sha'amar. It's an opening bracha and a closing bracha of Psukei Dezimra. You're making a bracha that you're going to say Psukei Dezimra. So Psukei Dezimra isn't a Hefzik in there because that's what your brachas were about. So to in Hallel, the end bracha of Hallel doesn't start with a bracha. Why? Because the opening bracha of the whole Hallel was a bracha on the opening of Hallel, and therefore the closing bracha at the end of Hallel doesn't need to start with Baruch, because the opening bracha of Hallel was that opening bracha of that last bracha of Hallel. And Hallel in the middle is not a hefsek because it's all on that topic. So too, the kind of Shema is Samach Lachavita of the Hamapil that you said at night right before you went to sleep. Okay, Elokai, you have to right away, when you start saying Elokai Neshama, it's not the way I'm saying it, Elokai Neshama. Chas v'shalom. You have to say Elokai Neshama. There has to be a pause. A pause after the word Elokai and Neshama. That less, God forbid, it sounds in your words, even though you don't mean this, less than your words, it sounds like you're trying to say your Neshama is your God. So you can't say, and Mishnah Berurah says this, don't say Elokai Neshama, say Elokai, pause, and then Neshama Shenasa to be Tohorahi. Okay, the Neshama, yeah.
It has to be after Neshama. Some people have it differently.
Yeah, and the Siddur sometimes it puts it not in the order, but we're meant to say it right after Asher Yatzar. And therefore, some people say the Anat Yasadayim for when they get to Shul, so they line it up. Anat Yasadayim, Asher Yatzar, Kain Hashem, Berachas Torah, we're straight through all the brachas and group them together. And that's one option of what you could do. Or if you want to say Anat Yasadayim at home, so you should right away go from Anat Yasadayim to Asher Yatzar to Alakai Neshama and still group them together. But you should group the Alakai Neshama next to the Asher Yatzar.
So we will also do Alakai Neshama right before brachas.
So I think mostly not, we're directed that it's better not to. It's better to put Alakai Neshama right after Asher Yatzar. That's Rosh Shiva, what to do. But I think that's what I'll tell you. Okay, so there was a gears in the Gemara, and some people might say this, Neshama Shenasata B'Tahora. And they take out the word He. Because Neshama Shenasata B'Tahora He sounds like it's still Tahor now. Who are you to say that your Neshama is still Tahor? Well, you haven't been Metame yet even a little bit. It's still Tahor. So that's the idea behind not saying He. It was Tahor when you gave it to me. Neshama Shenasata B'Tahora. It was Tahor when you gave it to me. Thank you that you gave me a Tahor Neshama. I know what I did with it. We don't talk about that right now. But we do have the girsa of Tahorahi. We say Tahorahi. And so what's the idea behind that? So one pshat is that we don't mean Tahorah like it's Tahor as opposed to Tameh. But what we mean Tahor is that you just refreshened it in Shemayim and you're giving it to me. It's like fresh, like a fresh new start for the day. Whatever you did to in Shemayim, refurbishing it, making it ready for a new day. We feel, you know, ready to start a new day, so you give me back that, and that way it's Tahorahi. But the Rokeach says the Pshat, where Tahor can mean Tahor as opposed to Tamei. Tahorahi meaning there's different levels to the Neshama, and there's a part of the Neshama that's always left untainted and untouched. All the sins of the world, it's just like you're putting junk on top of the fruit, but inside the fruit, still not getting dirty. You could still, it's all external. You could wash it off the peel, and inside the fruit will still be completely clean. So the Neshama that's inside of me, Tahorahi, it's always Tahor. I might be putting garbage on top of it, but the Neshama itself that's in me, it's the same Tahorahi as it was when you gave it to me. Ata Verata, Ata Yitzarta, Ata Nefachtabi. Why all these Verata, Yitzarta, Nefachtabi? So why all those terms? So let me just tell you who says this pshat. That it's actually referring to the Marsha. The Marsha says that the Pasuk says that Kosh Baruch blew a Nishmas Chaim into man, so it was referring to different levels of Neshama. We know, you might have heard before, that really a person's soul has five parts to it. The lowest being the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Won't go into explaining what each one of them are, because I couldn't. But,
why would Arshu put it where it is?
So the Neshama was a Bria, Kosh Baruch was Borei. But Nefesh was what Barata is going on, Ruach is what Yitzhak is going on, and Nefachtabi is going on what Neshama is going on. Neshama is like Neshima, breath. So Nefachtabi, you blew into me, and Neshama. Just a little bit tell you, it was like, Kosh Baruch Hu, it says, V'yipach ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. Kosh Baruch Hu blew into man's nose, Nishmas Chaim. So when you blow into somebody's nose, so there's some of the breath that's inside the person, there's some of the breath that's entering the person and still coming out of the mouth of the one that's blowing, and there's some of the breath that's still up by the person that's doing the blowing. So the nefesh is the part that's deeply entrenched in you. It's the lowest part of the neshama. The ruach is the one that's connected between you and the upper neshama of you that's still high, high up in the shemayim, still connected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's as if there's like a string starting from you like a kite. You're the bottom, and it goes all the way, all the way, all the way up to places that you don't even know of. So you might sometimes feel like a strong rut zone for something. I don't know. Let's say, for example, don't read into this too much, because by us is probably biases and desires and taivas, but a person could theoretically feel like a pull towards something, and it's his neshama tugging at him. He doesn't understand the message clearly, but he knows that something is tugging at him to go in a certain direction or to make a certain decision. We can't make decisions like that, the Gros says, because most of the time by us is biases. But to know that, yeah, we are connected to neshama. Anyway, so Ata barata, ata yitzarta, ata nefachta bi, you blew it into me. The ata meshama bekibi, you guard it and keep it within me all the time. So that has to do with like the mafli lasos. Hashem has to guard the neshama to stay inside the body all the time, because otherwise it would just fly right out, like boom right out, because a neshama can't by definition really be contained into something physical. So it's not just that Hashem put it in us. He had to keep it, he has to keep it in us all the time, constantly, because otherwise the neshama would leave us. So v'ata meshama bekir bi. Why don't we say v'ata meshama bi? Why bekir bi? Why don't we? Usually we say bi. V'ata nefachta bi. V'ata meshama bi. Why bekir bi? So if Shteyman says that the pshat is, the Gemara in Brachos says that the neshama fills up the entire guf. Every part of the guf contains the neshama in it. So that's what the word bekir bi, in all of me. You're keeping the neshama in all of me, because the neshama fills up my entire body. In the future, you're going to take it away from me and then return it back to me. So what do we mean when we say so the main pshat that people say is that it's referring to Tchias HaMesim. One day you're going to take it from me, everybody's going to die. The Gemara says even those that are alive at the time before Mashiach, for Tchias HaMesim, first they're going to die, and then the Tchias HaMesim come back alive. So everybody, this is true. In the future, Hashem is going to take the neshama away, lit lamimeni, the Chofetz Chaim once gathered a bunch of Tamidim together. I said, I want to tell you a pshat. And it says, look, it says, Ata Asid Litla has a mapikei, imeni ulachzira has a mapikei, bil asid lavo. Why is there a mapikei? Because what the bracha, what Chazal is trying to stress in the bracha is, exactly what Hashem takes from you, what you did to your neshama, is exactly what you get back. Nothing is added to it in Shemayim, meaning what you hand back to Hashem is what He puts back into you at Tchias HaMesim, and that's what it's like forever. Whatever you made of yourself, that's what you'll be for all of eternity. Nothing else added, nothing taken away. Maybe Gehenna might clean you up, but you can still see in a person the scars of the fact that he had to go through Gehenna. And Gehenna can't add for you the mitzvos that you missed. So exactly what you return to Hashem when you die and you leave this world, v'ata asi litla, it, the neshama itself, litla, exactly what you did to it, that's what he's lahachzira. That exactly is what he's going to return to you. La'asad lava.